Hello and welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jesse Billington, and we are back to preview this weekend's Mexican Grand Prix. And when I say we, I mean all three of us, as I am joined by none other than Mr. Timo Albus Daly and Miss Ellie Mae Taylor. How are you both?
Well, I forgot that it was Wednesday and that I had a podcast until a couple of hours ago, so that's where my head's at.
Good, good. Excellent starting place. Timo, did you remember we were recording today?
Yes, I was aware that it was Wednesday, so I had a bit more of a head start than Ellie Mae did, which it's just how these things happen sometimes. We've all had those days where you think it's a day or two earlier or later than what it is, and you forget that you might be somewhere that you're not at that moment in time, so it happens. In terms of Mexico, I don't know. It's one of those weird seasons. This might actually be a good race.
You had, in fact, been informed that it is Wednesday, my dudes. But yes, Mexico looms ever closer, and the racing action returns to... Oh, this is a terrible... Circuit of Manos Rodriguez, isn't it? That's it. I remembered the circuit name just at the last second there. But before we get to the racing action...
Do you remember Mexico, we had a podcast?
I did. Yes, I did, because I was doing a little bit of note writing earlier today. Before we jump into the racing action that is to come this weekend, we might as well have a quick look at FP1. And there is a whole host of FP1 special drivers coming in this weekend. At the time of recording, at least, this is correct. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe another one or two crop up, as Mexico is a common spot for them to appear. For stake, we have Robert Schwartzman hopping in the car, which must suck if you're Teo Pourchaire not even getting a look in at the team that paid for your final F2 season. Ferrari have got Ollie Bearman back in the car. Mercedes, Kimi Antonelli now in place of Lewis Hamilton. McLaren have got Pato O'Ward, and Aston Martin have got Felipe Drugovich. And Timo has asked, can we get a 1980s style opening with additional photo stills of these guest drivers? That would be fun. I doubt it. It's Formula One. Their levels of creativity rarely extend beyond the obvious.
It's the frustrating element here. If I have excellent social media ideas, I just don't have the capacity to create them.
Hindered by your own inabilities. Truly a shame.
I was born in the wrong decade, what can I say? I was born to appreciate social media, not be someone who creates it.
Yeah. Born just outside of the wrong... I don't know which would be the right decade for that. Either way, it does pose the question, who do we expect to actually be a full-time F1 driver off of this list? Obviously, Antonelli and Bearman are already ticked off. Schwartzman, I don't think he's got a hope at this point in time. He's very much...
I was going to cut you short and just say none of them, because this is where I was kind of curious as to... I understand that you've got to put young drivers in, but normally you've got a bit of an eye with them coming up, like with Antonelli, with them, and we've seen it with others before, Colapinto being a good example. Admittedly, we didn't expect it at the time, and a few others. But Schwartzman, he's been doing FP1s for as long as we can remember at this point, and we know he's not going to get anywhere near an F1 seat. Pato, same with McLaren. It's nice that you're pals with Zach and that you can get in every now and again, especially in your home race, but what's it really doing aside from keeping some sponsors happy? Drugovich, again, he's going to turn to Schwartzman if he's not careful. So I know that you need reserve drivers and you need to put them in occasionally, but should we be putting in drivers that actually have a shot? And if they don't, why are you having them as your test drive? You know what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, this is where I'm sort of beginning to wonder whether or not we're going to get Hajar reappear in the AlphaTauri stake again, because, I don't know, he was all right when he ran last time, or did he suffer massive technical failures? I can't remember.
Not as bad as Antonelli.
No.
Just got to make it more than one lap this time, and he's already lapping, so...
Yeah, he's already doing well. But yeah, Isaac Hajar would be an interesting one, especially if the early rumours coming out of Mexico are to be believed. Liam Lawson will be replacing Sergio Perez, and Isaac Hadjar will be stepping up to sit next to Yuki Tsunoda next season, which is...
Amusingly, on the day that Perez's father said he's going to be world champion, no one's told him the maths.
That makes him the second most delusional prime minister president of an American nation at the moment. Oh, no, possibly third. I've lost track of my delusional American leaders at the moment.
Probably best you steer clear of that one.
Yeah, I figured I'd cut that anecdote short there. But besides the buy, I mean, there's still a lot to be discovered. There's still a lot of teams that haven't even run FP1 drivers yet, Stake being one of them. So that's why they've obviously dusted off a Robert Schwartzman. But otherwise, you're just sort of looking at them going...
You mentioned in Abu Dhabi, if it's not announced who's going to be in their second seat and they just mistake, they run Colapinto.
I
Just
mean,
as a bit of a, this is as close to a hint as you're getting.
Colapinto Pinto is also being rumored bounced around for that other RB seat as well, purely on the grounds of he's quick and knows what he's doing in a Formula One car. But I don't know, it's one of those things that's just so open at the moment. No one really knows, and it's Red Bull. We don't really know what they're up to at the best of times. But anyway,
Plot twist, Yuki and Perez gone for next year, and you're just there scratching your head going, how did this happen? I didn't think we'd be here 12 months ago.
yeah, that would be a very interesting one. Speaking of on the other side of this, though, seats that we do know are going to people is the Formula E All Women Test, and we've got some more drivers and teams announcements. Nissan have announced they'll be running Sophia Flörsch and Abbie Pulling, while Bajca Visser and Jess Edgar will be driving for DS Penske. So again, some familiar names if you've enjoyed Formula 3 or F1 Academy or W Series, going back to Bajca Visser there. So we've got some, yeah, really good talent, sort of again surfacing on this one, some recognizable names and some drivers that really need to be looking for sort of series to progress into. This is what I think will be the good thing for Sophia Flörsch. If she can prove her worth over here, this would be the step she needs to get out of a bottom tier F3 team into actually competing in something.
You were asking me the other day when we were reviewing Austin about one of the drivers that had been announced in one of the teams. I'm trying to think who it was now because you'd forgotten about them. And this is exactly the same way I'd felt when I saw the DS Penske announcement earlier. I was like, oh, yeah, but it's still running around somewhere. I'd forgotten about her. Good. I'm glad she's getting another chance to have a go in something. So, like you say, all familiar names. Gives Flirt another option. There's a lot of talk at the moment that she will get that step up into Formula 2, but with there still being a couple of seats around, I think, for Formula E for next season still, even though that's going to close up shortly because their season obviously starts a lot sooner than everyone else's, not a bad way for her to try and get in somewhere else, especially somewhere like Nissan. And pulling again, she was at the finale in London having a look nose around, so good for her to just keep her options open as well. And Jess Edgar the same, because I think she's in her second season of F1 Academy now as well, so she needs to find something to do for next year because it can't be that. So nice for them all really keeping their options open.
Did Jess Edgar run in F1 Academy last year? Yeah, she did. Yeah,
Pretty
damn.
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Gabriela Jilkova that I was thinking of from
That's the one.
Kota? Yes, yeah, another name that you go, oh, yeah. So, yeah, again, Bajca Visser, lovely to have her back.
When does, obviously they've got their testing soon. When does the Formula E season actually?
January.
January. So I was just going to say how, I mean, if you've got someone in F1 Academy at the minute, how much
Well,
would it crash?
December. December 7th, São Paulo, Brazil, first round.
Oh yeah, they're doing that weird thing again.
Yeah, their testing is 4th, 7th November, Valencia, Spain, and then they go to São Paulo for the December 7th, and then it's Mexico City for January 11th, and then February 14th and 15th is Diriyah, Saudi Arabia. Then there's still a TBC, actually, round 5, March 8th, unknown. I don't know if that's just to come as a surprise or genuinely they haven't actually booked anywhere yet.
They're very good at doing that, though. I'm never sort of
There's usually one of
surprised.
those a season, isn't there, where we're not entirely sure until about 2 or 3 weeks beforehand. When is that? Did you say March or April?
That was in March 8th.
Well, everyone's going down under. Let's just get it all done with and put Formula E there as well.
I
There we
mean,
go.
oh no, they'll have already done Saudi Arabia adjusting because they'll be I was gonna say they could do the track that F1 does for Saudi as opposed to the Diriyah track, but they could go to Jeddah. But we'll wait and see what happens.
But that means, someone like Abbie Pulling could go from F1 Academy to Formula E.
In
But
a couple of weeks.
she wouldn't have finished her F1 Academy season, would she, before starting E?
Yeah, there is a 1 weekend overlap because they're racing in
Yeah.
Abu Dhabi, aren't
Yeah, they
they?
are.
So
At
yeah,
least it's on the right
Abu
side of the planet, so it's not too inconvenient. Oh no,
Dhabi.
sorry, I completely got
No.
mixed up there with where I thought everything was. It's
No.
Wednesday.
None of it lines up at all. So fingers crossed there's some contingency plans
I
for
was thinking
the
about Mexico, that's why.
people taking part in this. We'll see how it pans out. Either way, some fantastic names re-emerging for Formula E, and we look forward to them doing relatively well at the test, actually. Certainly Abby pulling, it'd be interesting to see how well she's able to transfer her already very good single-seater skills. Looking ahead more accurately then to Mexico, and this will be Fernando Alonso's 400th start in a Grand Prix this weekend, which is a ridiculous milestone to reach and quite a fantastic one, really. I think that's the new record. That's like he's the
Yeah,
most
well, he
started
overtook Kimi a
driver.
while ago, and Lewis then overtook Kimi not too long ago, but he can't catch the record until Alonso stops, and even then he's got to go on for a bit. So you do wonder, and there was a comment I saw the other day with the F1 film that if Brad Pitt can be realistically portrayed as racing in his 60s, we've got Alonso for a good while still, so Hamilton's a bit buggered on that front.
Yeah, I mean, what really wants to know is, hang on a second, let me just check. Martin Brundle, how old is he? Because he is 65 and he recently ran in one of the modern F1 cars. So if he's able to punch out a time that's respective, we could have Alonso for another, what, 20 years?
And we also might get you to eat your words because you were complaining heavily at the time about how unrealistic it was that Brad Pitt was supposed to be a driver coming back to race in F1, and then suddenly everyone just slowly went, "We don't like this, Mr. Billington, saying these things. We're going to go and slowly prove him wrong."
If Martin Brundle does prove me wrong, I'm willing to eat my words. However, it is quite a big caveat to expect 65-year-old Martin Brundle to get into a modern Formula One car and pull like multiple
I
G's in a
will
corner.
caveat with the fact that he had a, in this scenario where he's just doing like a one-off thing. This isn't going through like a rigorous amount of training to get back into it. So you've got to take that into account before you
Well,
start
okay,
doing
right,
any
yeah.
potential slander.
I'll fax that in when I come to watch the F1 film next year and accurately
I
critique
just
them.
want you to actually enjoy it rather than being yourself with it.
I will enjoy it. I can put that aside. I would then simply go back and watch it again through my normal lens of sort of critique.
I know there were different times, but how old was oh, his name has literally just escaped me.
Niki Lauda.
Fangio?
No, how old was Fangio when he won his last? He was in his, was he in his
54, I think.
wasn't he? 50, 50 something.
Fangio was born. He was born in 1911, and he won his last title in 1957. So that would make it six. He was 46 when he won his final title.
That's not far away from where Fernando Alonso.
Is now, but also again, the physicality of driving required different skills. Sort of like when
Was
you
a
look at
different
baseball
time. Did
players
you
from the
not just hear
60s.
her?
Yeah.
So therefore, it's still doable.
It's
And
doable, but also irrelevant.
well, kind of, but then Fernando Alonso is in great physicality. He's got great fitness. I mean, they've said that his body and mind are far younger than his actual age. And I mean, his 400th Grand Prix is probably going to be a bit forgettable. So his 500th Grand Prix needs to be spectacular.
I mean, at the
His
rate of the expansion of
500th,
seasons,
brother.
that will be within the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
So it's we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. Anyway, 400th Grand Prix, that's what we've got to look forward to. And also, the way things are looking, Max Verstappen is likely to win the driver's title, but Red Bull could slip to P3 in the constructors. And the last time we saw that style of result was Nelson Piquet in 1983 with Brabham. And it really does make you ask, how bad was his teammate that year? Ricardo Patrese suffered 10 retirements, exhaust failure, water leak, spun, electrical failure, engine failure, brake failure, gearbox failure, turbo failure, second engine failure, third engine failure, three non-point finishes, and then a third place and a win to accrue 13 points. Piquet won on 59 points that year for context. Ferrari won the constructors' title on 89 points, with Brabham on 72 and Renault between them on 79. So, yeah.
Not true.
Not
You know the only other time in history that a similar thing has happened.
Ooh.
In what, in
In
terms
terms
of
of the driver
the
wins, but
driver
constructors are
that won,
P3.
but the constructor was n well, not necessarily P3, but wasn't first or second. So if I whip these kind of facts out now, I might as well take a bit of a
Go on, whip your
go. Is
facts
it
out.
more recent than we think? Depends when you're thinking.
I'm going to hazard a guess that we're looking somewhere around the 90s, and it's going to be like a Schumacher Benetton thing.
Billy Murray?
I want a clue.
No.
Why?
I need to go more recent or older against Schumacher and Benetton?
You've guessed. You're
Oh.
done.
No,
Higher or lower? Higher or
but
lower than Jesse?
yeah, but I was trying to get a clue there for Ellie May.
Oof. Lower.
So more recent.
No.
Oh, older.
Opposite lower.
So, oh, 80s. Oh, I'm going to say the year, one of the, maybe the year that Keke Rosberg won, around about then. What date was that? 1982.
Three, two.
I was going to say
Listen,
two.
you just named 1983, Jesse, so it's not going to be that year, is
No. Oh,
it? So,
it's Wednesday. Leave me
one
alone.
year in history, it definitely isn't. Ellie May, I'm going to stop you right there because, and he's going to be annoyed now, it was 1982, it was Keke Rosberg, it was Williams, they finished in P4 that year, and Ferrari were the ones to win the constructors, and McLaren Ford in P2 and Renault in P3, but Ellie May just showing that she's a better F1 historian than Jesse is. So, them's the breaks.
That's annoying. I mean, I was close.
But you were wrong,
No,
and in the wrong
yes,
decade.
I
I mean,
agree.
I had a get, I had a clue kind of given to me.
This is why I didn't want to give you a clue, because you
Why?
then
Because
guessed
you thought I would
immediately
get
correctly.
Keke Rosberg anyway.
Well, no, am I wrong? No, this is exactly what you then did.
Can
Jeez,
imagine
how many?
Jesse just editing this all out now and then just saying.
No, I'm curious as to who Rosberg's teammate was, as to how badly he must have done.
Well, no, because Keke Rosberg only won one race, wasn't it? The Williams weren't dominant, they were just reliable against the sort of Renault and Ferrari engines.
Well, no, he didn't have just one teammate either. He had Carlos Reutemann for the first two, Mario Andretti
Yeah,
for the third
Derek
round, and
Daly
then
and
Derek
Mario
Daly
Andretti.
for the
Yeah.
final few rounds. So the net result is that he not only did he easily beat all of his teammates, it just meant that, yeah, they never sort of accrued. The second Williams just never really accrued any points. A fifth are disqualified, a second a retirement, a fourth, a retirement, a third, a retirement, a fifth, a third, a second, a first, an eighth, and a fifth. So how the blazes did Piquet win that then? It still
Wasn't
baffles
Piquet,
me.
it was Rosberg.
Rosberg, it's Wednesday, leave me alone. Anyway, fun history facts out of the way. You've got a question for us,
Another
Timo.
question for
Another
you.
question.
Yes.
Is it as mind scrambling as the last one?
I was going to say
We're struggling already.
I've used my one brain cell. That's it for the day. Like,
No, this doesn't require that kind of thought. Don't worry. I thought as there's not much news, I might actually try and preview a bit of Mexico, as we sometimes forget to do that aside from predictions, which is fair enough because we've got more things to talk about sometimes. But as it's Mexico Grand Prix, I'm curious about what you do think on this one. We say this about drivers sometimes that they're nice people, but when it comes to the racing, that doesn't mean that they'll be a good driver. With Mexico, the atmosphere, which I'm guessing none of us have been unless we've one of us wants to tell the other two something, looks pretty damn good on TV. The track isn't awful. It's a nice kind of blend of a track and a street circuit with obviously the great stadium section. But for me, is it the kind of circuit equivalent of a nice driver, but then isn't actually good for Grand Prix and racing? Because I can't remember the last time we had a Mexican Grand Prix, or for that matter, a Mexican E-Prix, where I've had my socks absolutely knocked off. The only thing I can think of is the Formula E race, which maybe you will have this anyway, because I can't think who it was now. It might have been Degrassi, where he won literally pipping on the line on the inside to the very last lap when whoever it was ahead of him thought they were taking the win. But that was obviously a different category. Whereas here, we have moments occasionally, but I don't remember the last time we had a truly memorable Mexican Grand Prix. I've stunned them into silence.
I'm tempted to say 2021 because I was watching it back the other day, and it was a race packed with what can only be described as Max Verstappen shithousery, because this was obviously the incredible battle between Verstappen and Hamilton across the season for the title. Verstappen is accruing fastest lap for this race. Mercedes think, will shore up Hamilton's championship challenge by pitting Bottas, because he'd been spun around on lap one by Ricciardo. Pit Bottas, put him on soft, send him out. He'll get the fastest lap. He'll take it away from Verstappen, and we'll have it for the constructors, but it's one point that Max won't have against Lewis. But Verstappen knows that, and unfortunately, the first time Mercedes released Bottas out of the pits, they release him right in front of Verstappen. So Verstappen just gets blue flagged past him, holds Bottas up so his tires degrade, so Bottas pits. Well, he also does an incredible thing of purposely locking up going through the stadium sector to really screw with Bottas's lap behind him as well. And then,
But I'd argue, is that not just a moment or an
but
event in a
no,
Grand Prix rather than the Grand Prix
because
as an
he does it
entirety?
again. Because Mercedes then pit him again, put him on yet another set of soft tires, and then
Which.
sit there going nowhere to wait for the window. And Verstappen comes around again and does it. Eventually, Bottas gets it on the 69th lap. By now, he's two laps down, which was actually just a great foreshadowing of the rest of his Formula One career, two laps down in P15. So it was a
Can I
great
ask you though,
aspect, but I don't, yeah, was it a good race? Exactly, P4?
if well, a that, but also before any major jumps in, if you hadn't watched it back, would you have remembered?
No.
Anyway.
Yeah, nothing sort of springing to mind as well, especially Formula One related there. So.
Like all I can remember from last year's race is Perez going, whoop. And then I have to go back to the previous year, and I think that was Magnussen going to a wall. That may have also been last year, I can't
No,
remember.
that was also last year, I think.
Which means 2022 was not memorable. I have no idea what happened there. Max probably won.
Yeah, he did
So,
by
yeah.
15 seconds.
And Ricciardo was P4, but that was last year in qualifying, I think. So 2022, not memorable. 2021, if Jesse hadn't looked, we've got no idea. 2020, don't think they
Didn't run
went.
COVID.
2019, stuff probably happened.
2021, was it a Red Bull 1-2 as well?
No, Red Bull won 3. Perez came P3, Hamilton P2.
I think because I just kind of remember the celebrations. That's
Yeah.
why it was
Oh,
maybe
like
one two.
Hamilton's won a title or two in Mexico, and yet I'm pretty sure he's won at least one of them. I think there was a massive amount more celebration than normal, but again, I don't think the race itself was memorable.
2019, Hamilton had the chance to win the World Drivers' Championship at this Grand Prix for the third year straight if he outscored his only remaining title contender, Valtteri Bottas, by 14 points or more. He did not. Yeah, Bottas came home P3 and kept the title going till Brazil, I think, that year. But yeah.
That's something interesting
Quite
because
short.
we have so many Grand Prix, like we say, and yet you try and look back over a season. I think you and I were talking about this just in the Austin review, Jesse, about how to order some of these races in terms of how from best to worst. Admittedly, friend of the podcast, Jacob and I, we do keep track as the season goes on. But if we didn't do that list from the get-go and we tried doing it halfway through a season, we'd need to be doing what you've done for Mexico 21 and go, right, we need to go watch the highlights because I can't remember what the hell happened here. Just thinking in terms of shortening a calendar or swapping one venue out for another, I like Mexico, but doesn't mean that we should keep going back there.
Make things a bit more memorable in our brains, but then at the same time, it is a Wednesday.
I
Yeah.
don't feel like that's impacting the last 7, 8 years of the Mexican Grand Prix.
Yeah, but it's impacting our memories right now.
Well, maybe we need to go
I
back to
think
like
you were
the.
fighting, I think losing that battle early on there.
Maybe we need to go back to like the history of the Mexican Grand Prix. We need to just have like stray
Is
dogs
that not
wandering around the
telling in
track.
itself, though?
Yeah, I
If
don't
that's
know.
the level, it gets into Bernie kind of territory there. I'll get the sprinklers out. Or just like
Yeah.
a baseball stadium.
Have a baseball game going on whilst the race is going on.
To be fair, I've watched a baseball match. So little baseball happens. You could quite easily run a Formula One Grand Prix through the middle of one without actually causing any disturbance to the baseball that's happening. Like, it's you could speed up a game of baseball by simply sort of cutting out all the little bits in the middle, and you'd be left with a perfect 20-minute sport, and that would be it. But somehow, it seems to take nearly 2.5 hours. I don't know. It's a good question, though. It definitely poses one on sort of if it's not genuinely memorable, why the hell are we still bothering? But then every now and then you get a circuit that chucks out one that's like truly bonkers, and you go, that's why.
This one
But
will
then
be
they just do it
bonkers.
every other year. That way you sort of, do you double your chances or do you halve your chance of it being crazy? Assuming you
You
picked the
don't
right year
mind
to
that it's
skip.
not on the, you don't mind it's not on the calendar. So then if it's bad, you don't mind because it's just gone back and you have that nostalgia and that uniqueness to it. But if it's good, you love it. And then by the time it comes around again in 2 or 3 years, you are actually excited because last time we got something good and we didn't, and we skipped all the boring stuff. Look at Mugello as the perfect example of that. We got a bit of a crazy race there, not gone back since. But if they said, oh, we're going to go back next year, I'm open to this.
We would need Romain Grosjean and Antonio Giovinazzi's plow into the back of the field after a safety car restart, though, to make Mugello quite as exciting. I
I
will
mean,
admit that, as with both of my
just
favourite
bring
drivers.
K-Mag back or bring Stroll back, and that's something like we've got other drivers who can do that.
Oh, we'll
So,
still have Stroll. That's not in question. He can bin it into the kitty litter wherever you put him, and he did so at Mugello when we had him there in
well, there we go.
2020.
Then we don't need the others. We've got other kamikazes.
I would like a sort of circuits to change around every year. It does make it fun. Be like, oh, we're going to Portimão this year.
I don't think America
Like.
should have 11 squillion. I think they should be forced to pick one circuit that hosts the American Grand Prix and it's drawn out
Oh,
of a
do it
hat.
like they used to do with Europe. You have a European Grand Prix, you have an American Grand Prix, which should be, or then you just have another Grand Prix that's in America, but that one maybe changes. It's Vegas 1 year, get rid of Miami because we don't need it. But then you have plenty of other perfectly good circuits
Road
that
America,
some of which
Watkins
wouldn't
Glen.
require Laguna Seca, don't require too much effort to make them grade one spec for F1. Just saying.
Yeah, that's a good theory. Anyway, we've got the Mexican Grand Prix to come, and of course, it is known for being a high altitude circuit, thin air, and unique aerodynamic setups. Teams running different blanking plates for brakes, different front and rear wing angles, and usually specific floors as well. It's often described as being technically a bit like Monza. So, with that in mind, we'll lay down some predictions, and it's a 2 versus 1 when it comes to pole position. Timo, you're the one with Sergio Perez.
If it's his last Mexican Grand Prix, might as well give him something. So we're bookending these predictions with Sergio Perez, as we'll get to in a minute. So I thought I'd start off with pole position for him.
If the rumors to be believed, it could be his last Grand Prix.
Oof.
It'd be so unlike Red Bull to do that to a driver. They're not really known for this recently at all, are they?
No. They
Oof.
wouldn't do that.
Not twice.
Well,
More than
especially considering we're in the middle of a triple header, we'd have to sort of compress the Daniel Ricciardo timeframe.
And not in a situation where it makes absolutely no sense PR-wise. They'd not.
No. They would do it before the Mexican Grand Prix. But again, we're in that compressed time zone, so it will happen before FP. It won't be an FP1 driver, it'll just be his replacement. Go, congratulations, Isaac Hadjar. Don't get out of the car. You're doing FP2.
Why is Daniel Ricciardo in that Red Bull?
Yeah.
Plot twist.
Just.
Do you think Red Bull would make it out alive?
No. Just, oh my
Oh.
God, who's that with the metal folding chair? It's Ayumu Iwasa. Oh my God. Just out of nowhere, just Red Bull drivers popping up. You're sort of going, what are they doing?
Very purple Barney the dinosaur just emerges in the stadium like, you forgot about me, didn't you? In all your drivers switching around.
Well, or what if they just gave someone else Sergio Perez's helmet and race suit?
It'd have to be of similar height, wouldn't they? Do you think?
I don't think it's
Because
a tricky height to replicate.
he's
Or
a
they
smart
do
guy.
what
Top Gear did with the Stig and the American Stig, and you stick his dad in the car and just hope no one notices. But then this suited larger person comes walking out. And he's like,
Yeah, or like
Perez looks a bit different.
every time James May had to do a race in Top Gear versus Top Gear from other nationality, and they just sort of happened to have James May in a white suit and white helmet. We just happened to have a slightly better driver in a Sergio Perez helmet and race suit. And that, yeah, I suppose if they're accruing points under Sergio Perez's race number, the points go to Perez and Red Bull. Too
Get to
bad he's
go out
already out of, yeah, too
alive.
bad he's already out of, championship contention. Anyway, Ellie Mae, you and I are sharing an idea for pole position.
Yes, we have gone for Charles Leclerc.
Such a passive aggressive wee there.
We
Well, I picked it first.
I just
It's going to
copied
be a
him
long
because he's so
section.
amazing with these predictions.
There we go. That's what I wanted to hear. Moving on to the podium. We've all gone for a Ferrari win. And then after that, it gets a bit chaotic. Timo, we'll start with yours, and then we'll go to Ellie May's. Yours are both the most straight-laced.
So you've taken the high nature of Mexico to mean high on drugs, considering your choices.
High on speed and
But
success.
as no marijuana. Charles Leclerc for me for P1, though Piastri P2, and because it's his 400th Grand Prix, and because you never know with Mexico, some cars behave just a little bit differently there. Fernando Alonso, why not?
So you're allowed to pick something a little bit differently, but I'm not.
Yes, because that's still feasible. You have gotten out by entertaining Ocean, but the old spliff is going on there, I think.
No. For anyone listening who might be a potential employer, no. Ellie May, your
He's
podium
not cool.
positions.
Don't employ him. He's not doing
Yeah, that's the reason I'm not cool. Anyway, your podium position predictions.
I've gone for Carlos Sainz win, Charles Leclerc second, and Oscar Piastri in third. Although I'm going to have to maybe start taking out Leclerc because I can't say his first name very well.
I'll say
Charles.
Charles.
I can sort of say Charles, but like I ha it the Somerset starts coming out a bit.
Oh, the
We'll just say
R is the
Charles
wrong.
then. Is that no? Because that Charles is worse.
Yeah,
Oh,
it's the R sound.
the
Okay, option
old helmet.
three.
Option three. You have your own nickname for him. Call him Francis.
No, Chuck.
Chuck
Chuck
Le
Leclerc.
Yeah. Or I
Yeah,
just
but
call
then he
him
sounds like a beefy American.
I mean, that
First
was perfectly
Chuck.
fine when they had what's his name doing
Chucky
it
Leclerc.
in Miami that time, Willie T. Ribbs.
Yeah, but I feel like he gets away with it because he's Willie T. Ribbs.
Yeah, this is
What
very true.
if I just go by his middle name? One of his middle names. Just go
Mark
Percival.
Gervais Percival.
Percival. Percival Leclerc.
Well, that is his call sign when he's with flying with the French Air Force, so it is relevant.
Well, there you go, you see.
Yeah. Meanwhile, my podium is Charles Leclerc win, Franco Colapinto second, Lando Norris third.
I would love to see Colapinto on the podium. Not against it.
It'd be a right laugh. If he's going to do it, he's going to do it at one of the sort of races that's a bit closer to home. And yeah,
What a way to deny Lando points.
a great way to deny Lando points. Also, I believe that would mean he overtakes Alex Albon in the standings, so that would be quite
No
interesting
shit,
as
it's a
well.
P2. Of course you would overtake him in the standings. Yeah, but how many constructors would they then overtake? They'd get back past Haas, I think, and RB that they're currently behind, but only just.
What do you get for a second? I
So
can't.
that would be what, P6,
18.
18 points.
Yeah. So, assuming that, like, where
Aston Martin would be paying Franco a lot of money to say thank you for not making them sweat quite as much as they are at the moment, considering how
yeah.
close
So that
Haas
would.
are to them.
Williams are currently on 17. So 18 points would essentially double their tally, taking them to. I've got to do maths now. 35. And that would see them 1 point behind Minardi and 3 points behind Haas. So,
So they still
interesting.
don't get the win. Which then makes things awkward when Magnussen gets his P2 in Abu Dhabi.
A little, but we'll see how that pans out. Meanwhile, checks notes, Colapinto is currently on 5 points, so plus a further 18 would take him to 23 points, which would put him just behind Lance Stroll, ahead of Yuki Tsunoda, which would make him P12 in the standings, which is quite good.
I'll say this, if this comes true, you and you specifically are then responsible for Yuki getting fired from RB because that will put him ahead and he will replace him next year. And it will be hilarious because of all the people to have caused it, it will be you. And I will laugh my ass off.
That is
You
very
almost have to
sad.
take back.
That is
Oh
very sad.
well, it's locked in now. Fastest
Yep.
lap, who've
Oh,
you
I've said it.
chosen, Ellie May?
Fast slap, I've gone for Lance Stroll.
You reckon he's finally going to do it? Now that he's got the
Yes.
record for most races without a fastest lap, he's actually going to get the fastest lap. He just wanted the record.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fair enough.
That was my whole entire thought process. Just so in sync.
Yeah. Timo, Max Verstappen.
Yes.
It's yeah, straightforward suggestion. I meanwhile have gone for Kevin Magnussen. I reckon the Haas is going to be pretty nippy in a straight line. Kevin's got nothing to live for. Why not?
He's got
I mean, I'm
nothing
pretty sure he's got a wife and
to
kids that
I
are
meant
pretty
that in
good
terms
things to
of
live
sort of the
for.
rest of the championship. I realised as I said that that was entirely the wrong phrasing, but
Nothing to drive for, maybe.
that there we are. That's a better phrase. Yeah. So I don't know. Has had a fastest lap before?
I want to say yes. I don't know why.
I'm going to go with no.
We're just not in sync today.
No, we're not in sync today. We'll try again. We'll try again on
They've
Monday.
had two. Jesus.
She,
When?
she's got a Keke Rosberg. I've got Hest, you know. It's just yin and yang.
Okay. Would you like to take some guesses as to when they both had
Grosjean
fastest
in
laps?
France 2018.
Grosjean, France 2018. Wrong. But you're in the right
Didn't think
year.
it'd be right, to be
Yeah, I
honest.
was going to say
Okay.
2018. God.
It can't be Baku because that never happens. He
They're
says,
the
waiting for
shit crime of
confirmation
it, that's right.
that
Drop back in.
it's not Baku. Where the hell were we in 2018? Germany?
No. Bless you.
Spain, bless you.
Spain, no.
All right, bought now, give up.
No, we said and reset France.
Both times it was the same driver.
Was
Romain
it
Grosjean?
Grosjean?
No, it wasn't Grosjean.
Magnussen.
Yeah, it was Magnussen.
Both in 2018.
One was 2018, one was 2019.
Silverstone, Monza,
No.
Spa.
Timo it.
Well.
Singapore both times Kevin Magnussen, both times finishing outside the points and getting fastest
Well, of
lap.
course it was Kevin Magnussen. Daniel Ricciardo just beat it. I read this. Oh, yeah, that's why my mind finally got there. Excellent.
Yeah, 2018 he finished 18th and scored the fastest lap, and in 2019 he scored the fastest lap coming home P17 in Singapore. So slowly getting better at Singapore. So actually, my Kevin Magnussen fastest lap makes a hell of a lot of sense looking back on it now. Anyway,
Well, it would have made sense if we're in Singapore.
Yeah.
Amusingly, the race that he wasn't in. Oh, no, sorry, that was Baku,
that
wasn't
was
it?
Baku. He was back for
God
Singapore,
damn.
but
Oh,
didn't
so
reap the
close. So
chaos we were
close.
anticipating. That's the thing, like, it's all out of sync, so maybe he will do it in Mexico. He's got to catch up.
I was just thinking, anyway, if we end up in any kind of an F1 quiz, we're going to be a good team. We got you on the history, me on the modern stuff. We're sorted.
I mean,
Jesse, you can sit in the corner.
too bad we might be hosting an F1 quiz as opposed to taking part in it anyway.
I'd really
He'll do
like
really well
it. Can
then.
I take part in it instead?
No.
You'll get your own questions.
Yeah, we'll give you your own little table and your own set of questions. Wild predictions, and this is where, well, my ones are already pretty wild, but things get wilder still and genuinely wild. Actually, yeah, for this, Ellie Mae, I'm going to allow yours.
Of course, it's mad.
As opposed
When's
to
the
what?
last time it happened this year? Saudi Arabia.
He must have podiumed more recently than Saudi Arabia.
Don't do
Must
that,
have done. Furiously checks notes, China.
oh, yes, that's so much nearer to us on the timeline.
By three races.
Yes, but also China.
Yeah.
I've gone for Sergio Perez as on the podium. What do
That's
you
a
mean?
wild prediction.
I'll allow it. But do it anyway.
Well,
Who are you? Who are you to say what I can and can't do?
I'm just thinking he's in a Red Bull. It's like the third fastest car on the grid. He should be in with a relatively decent chance of getting onto the podium, Timo.
It's Sergio Perez.
Yeah, that's also the other half to it. So I'm sort of torn. If it's Sergio Perez, therefore it's not likely to happen anyway. I don't know. I'll
You've
allow it.
already said you're allowing it.
I'll give it my hand wave.
Just to cover Ellie Mae completely, Will you also allow it if he goes on the podium representing the constructor as the winning team? Because it's the only Grand Prix where you could see that happening, considering it's Mexico.
No,
See,
they'll do.
he's just he it, just a toe of his gets on the podium. I
He's
get the
just
point.
he's sort of got younger sibling syndrome, so he's allowed up just so he doesn't get upset. Like, oh, it's like it's not his birthday, but he's allowed to blow out the candles, sort of thing.
He still gets a present.
You're if he ends up on the podium representing Red Bull, the constructor, that will be allowed. What I will also allow is if, like for Zhou in China, they give him his own special little pit board to park in front of, that will also be
Well, I
admissible.
was thinking it'd be something along those lines, or like when Webber scored points for the first time in Australia, even though he wasn't on the podium, they still got him on there because it was an absolutely wild thing to happen at the time, considering the point structure.
Because wasn't he racing for Jaguar at that time?
Something like that. But it was like P5,
Oh,
P6, I
yeah.
think, in that Grand Prix, and everyone went nuts.
Mark Webber, racing driver. Let's just check.
No, he's a racing driver. You don't need to
Yeah.
check
Well, no,
that.
there are other people called Mark Webber, is the problem. It was his first Formula One Grand Prix. He finished fifth with Minardi Asia Tech.
There
So,
is an Olympian rower for Germany called Mark Weber, which amused me during the Olympics.
yeah. Anyway, there we go.
That's going to be one of her questions on the pub quiz.
Who is the German version of Mark
What
Webber?
Olympa likes, like sort of, we take Formula One drivers and find their sort of similar named corp in on the Olympics. Actually, that's a good idea for a quiz. Timo, your wild prediction.
It's going to be this one. I can feel it. This is going to be the race that they've been preparing for all year, where Stake are not only going to get points, they're going to get double points. They've been fine-tuning this car for the altitude, for Mexico, for all of it. It's going to be here. I can feel it.
They're relying on a Ferrari engine rather than sort of their own.
That and the fact that it is a green car, and that, as we all know, means that they will get double points in Mexico. That's just how the rules work, anyway. I don't make them.
There is the color green on the flag of Mexico, so that does tally up. He's put some thought into that theory.
But so is Aston Martin.
Wrong shade of green. I've
Yeah.
been saying that for years.
Needs to be greener. Meanwhile, my wild prediction is neither Mercedes finish in the top 10.
Ellie May, I just want to check. Are you allowing that as a wild prediction?
She's
It's just as
thinking.
we're marking each other's work.
Yeah. Keeps it fair and parity. I mean, bear in mind that at what, like the start of the US Grand Prix, neither Mercedes was in the top 10. So it's.
If only that's how predictions worked at the start of a Grand Prix.
Yeah, but I'm predicting at the end of the Mexican
Oh,
Grand Prix,
yes.
neither will be in the
It'd
top
be
10 as
weird to
well.
predict it for the start.
I.
I mean, if we'd make a prediction for every lap, we'd be here for ages.
I think I shall allow it because I'm kinder than Jesse.
Thank you. I allowed yours. I was being kind. I allowed yours. Brought fact and discussion to the matter. I tried to make it a talking point for a podcast where we talk about Formula One. Otherwise, it's just sort of say thing, yes, say thing, yes.
Not dominance thing.
Yeah. Anyway, with our predictions laid down, of course, Mexico will be the Grand Prix to watch this weekend. Whether it's interesting or not, we still don't really know. It'll probably be, what's the weather going to be like? We haven't done the weather forecast for a race for ages. See,
Probably because we got bored of
Mexico
them.
City. Mexico City. Come on, give me some
Pretty warm, a
answers.
little bit windy, and then snow.
I don't think I'll ever be able to go and watch the Mexican Grand Prix due to its altitude.
What do
Oh,
you
I
get?
just thought you were banned
Altitude
from Mexico.
sickness.
No, well, that too, but I reckon my ears would get a bit funny.
I
Put
think you
earmuffs
said.
on.
They sort of adjust after a while. Friday, 23 degrees after a cloudy start, sunshine returns. Saturday, a nice blend of sun and clouds and 22 degrees. And then Sunday, nice with intervals of clouds and sunshine, 22 degrees. Relatively steady wind by the look of things, 9 to 11 kilometers an hour, all roughly in the same direction. So, yeah, we shall see how the Grand Prix pans out. Now we know the weather, now we know our predictions. That is all we've got time for on this week's episode. In the meantime, if you want any more from any of us, Timo, where can you be found?
Well, Jesse, you won't know this, so I've not mentioned it, but I do also do an IndyCar podcast, and we recently did a 2024 season review. So that is now available over on Spotify, wherever else you get your podcasts. So do go on the Across the Pond Sports Network. And there was also a Nitrocross podcast out with all the fun action from Salt Lake City. So two other good motorsport series if you get bored of Mexico over the weekend.
An IndyCar podcast. You haven't mentioned that one before. Yeah, that's a new one.
No.
That's a new one on me. Ellie Mae, where can people find you? Or would you rather they didn't?
Well, I was going to say, can you stop being the stalker, please?
Yeah, stop finding Ellie Mae. She doesn't
Stop
like it.
stalking me, please.
No, she's talking to you, Jesse, specifically.
No, there are people she's referring to when she says that, and that is a surprisingly long list. Have you got anything that's coming out on
You,
social media?
hang on a second. Are you saying she's not someone worth stalking? I
No,
feel
I'm
like that's
saying
a bit
she is, and
offensive.
there is a list of people that are.
So maybe it'd be worthwhile me not telling
Telling
people
people
where
where
I
you are. Yeah,
am. Yeah.
don't give out your home address, but have you got anything that's maybe coming out on Instagram that people might want to go and
What
look at and go, oh,
whatever she
that's
says,
nice?
just bleep it now. No, I think I'll just say leave me alone, please.
Internet anonymity for this week, but that's perfectly fine. And in the meantime, if you want more from me, you can of course pick up the latest issue of Classic Car Weekly. This one's got my MG in it, actually. This has got the story of me putting the new engine into it, which did only last 400 miles.
I thought it'd be on the kind of the back pages where you're trying to sell the
No,
poor bastard.
not just yet. I haven't got to that stage of emotional detachment from it just yet.
Or you're donating it for a new series of scrappy challenge.
I would never subject it to that level of pain.
Great
Although is
prank on
Scrappy
you though.
Italia
I've
supposed to
just
be
had an
coming
idea
back?
for that.
Please don't do that to
Well,
my
yeah,
car.
they're waiting for you to donate your car, and then they
Oh
can do it.
no.
That's the missing
Oh
piece.
no.
And then they'll drop a grand piano on it.
It's not a Morris Marina, although I did contemplate buying a Morris Marina.
He'll never
You
ever sell
deserve what's coming.
He'll never ever sell it for the fact that Aunt Anstead has worked on it.
Yeah, I've had famous TV mechanic Ant Anstead help me rebuild the brake system on that car. Anyway, yeah, if you want more from me,
It's
Classic
the
Car
only bit
Weekly.
that works.
Yes. Apart from the handbrake, that doesn't work very well. The gearbox works perfectly, and the clutch did until, well, the clutch still works fine.
I'm just waiting for the day when he opens the door and it is like that Top Gear episode where was it Clark's car and the door's still somewhat in the car.
Oh, the door skin is still inside it. It
Yeah.
was built near Birmingham, so that is a very real possibility in the 70s. But anyway, yeah, Classic Car Weekly. Find me on the internet as well at Jesse on Cars on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. There's usually stuff appearing on there. And of course, thanks go to all of our listeners, but this week, especially those in Oaxaca, Mexico. If any of our listeners there fancy sending us a bottle of Mezcal, it would be warmly received. Although I drank a significant amount of it last night. Can attest, very nice, especially when mixed into a Negroni. Lovely. Otherwise, thank you very much for listening. Ellie Mae is battling a fly, and we'll see you again after the Mexico Grand Prix.